Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki. I am so grateful to be here with you tonight. We discuss issues to help you walk your soul's pilgrimage in your own authentic way. Sharing the path with your angels and spiritual guides gives you the comfort and security of always knowing you are not alone. You are invited to visit my website at livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal, a place of self-discovery. The show airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. Call in or just listen during our inspirational discussions from guests around the world and from Dr. Vicki, a counselor of law and spirituality. And now, Living Your Soul's Journey. Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey. I am so grateful to be here with you tonight. We discuss issues here on Living Your Soul's Journey to help you walk your soul's pilgrimage in your own authentic way. Sharing the path with your angels and your spiritual guides and your archangels and all that angelic realm gives you that comfort and security of always knowing that you're not alone. And if you're anything like me, you'll want to know that, because in or out of a relationship, we need to know that we are enough. We are complete. We are without a doubt connected to something. Doesn't matter what that something is for you. I'm not here to determine that. Only you know that. But it was very interesting when I mentioned that, because tonight I want to talk about authenticity, how to be authentic. And in your own journey, or, you know, as you're walking your own path, how do you remain or become even authentic? And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about loving yourself and what it means to be authentic. Before I get into that, I do want to share with you that next week that I will be having as my special guest, William Stillman. He's from Pennsylvania, and he's an internationally known award-winning author of Autism and the God Connection book, and he also is a psychic. So be sure and get your questions together of what you want to ask so that you can ask and talk to Mr. Stillman, William Stillman. So I will remind you of that at the end of the show as well, that he will be my guest. And also, starting at the end of the month, I am going to have Richard Andrew King, who is a well-known, internationally known numerologist, and he's been doing my chart for, heaven forbid, I don't know, 10, 12 years at this point. He also does my daughter's chart, and he gives you so much wisdom and insight on how to live your soul's journey, and that's why I like him so much, is because he helps people to live their soul's journey and it, as being authentic. Now, the name of the series that we're going to be working with Richard Andrew King is called Parenting Wisdom. And we're going to take his book and we're going to just go through it once a month. And so it doesn't matter if you're not a parent anymore, but if you even have grandkids or aunts, or if you're an aunt or just any child that you know, or even it's good to know parenting wisdom. And so what to teach the children is the subtitle of it. So now, as we progress through this beautiful hour together, and I'm so excited about being here, I want to share with you that I just came out of a situation that required me to be extremely authentic. And I really don't want to go into every detail of about it, but I will say this, that it involved a young person and it involved a group of people that were very religious. And as you all know, I'm extremely spiritual, but I am not religious and I don't pretend to be. And if anyone asks me, I will tell them I am very, very spiritual and I live a life of love and non-judgment. At the same time, I do expect certain things to be presented to me, which when I have a child in my home, and this, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it required a lot of authenticity on my part to not be in fear. And so when we talk about authenticity, we talk about a lot of different aspects of it. And so, you know, for the first few minutes, I want to share with you a personal experience so that you will understand what I mean by being authentic. So here I am when, you know, being a child advocate for, oh my goodness, many, many years, and knowing the laws of the state of Georgia as an attorney, I certainly know that when you place a child, even if it's temporarily, in a home, you have to have full disclosure. That means if a child's been in a psych hospital, if a child's on psych drugs, if a child's been, you know, whatever the situation, violent, whatever, it has to be disclosed. And so there was a situation in where this wasn't done, and it was very uncomfortable because the child was the one that, well, from my viewpoint, did not suffer at all because the child was mildly retarded, so didn't even realize that this had happened. It was the way that I presented to the child was a beautiful experience, another soul's journey, another branch of her soul's journey. So it ended up being beautiful, but it required, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is it because it required an authenticity to be honest with yourself, for your child, and for this child, and even for that particular group that wasn't necessarily upfront about it. Now, understanding it, I can understand why they might not want to be too upfront about it, because if they had been, I doubt that anybody would have hosted her. Now, very sweet child, and so there were no issues, but knowing what I know and my knowledge and my training, I had to take the steps necessary that I did. Now, why do I bring this up? Because it's like, well, gosh, she's off in left field. Well, of course, I do that anyway. But basically, being authentic means, there are many definitions of it, but authenticity requires self-knowledge and self-awareness. So if you are not aware, and if you do not have knowledge of who you are, what you stand for in this world, and I don't want to call it a bizarre world, but I will say it's a unique world that we live in at this time. And so if you are true and to yourself and to your own knowledge of who you are, what you stand for, and the truth in your world, then you are authentic. Now, you have to be accepting of your strengths when you're authentic, and you have to be accepting of your weaknesses when you're authentic. And honestly, I got very, very concerned with one of the people that I spoke with. That was a weakness. I could always, always do things better. And I accept that, because if I'm not accountable for my weaknesses as well as my strengths, then they're equally need to be accountable for, then I'm really not being authentic. It's easy to take credit for everything good in your life. And it's like, oh yeah, I did that. You know, I'm really great. But yet if you got upset with somebody and you raised your voice, yeah, that's not so good. Especially as a professional, I don't like to do things like that. So I'm accountable, but yet at the same time, I have to look at what makes me upset. Well, it's real simple. It's just real simple. It goes back to things that happened earlier in my life. But if someone outright lies to me just to cover their tracks, that is something that I have to learn to control better and to be more authentic about. I have to know, self-knowledge, that that is an area that I need to work on. And I continuously work on it every single day. Because to be accountable is very, very important in being authentic. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, you're authentic. You can just be yourself. Well, you know, you can be yourself and you have to be yourself. I mean, who else can you be? Everybody else is taken. You know, but at the same time, if you're not accountable to yourself and to other people, then how in the world can you be authentic? And I have to let my daughter know that the cat needs to come in. No, so I'm just going to text her right now, as crazy as it sounds. But I'm being authentic, and I don't like the cat sitting there while I'm doing my radio show. So anyway, now, when you're being authentic, it means that you're genuine. It means that you're real. And it also means that it liberates us somehow, and we'll talk about that a little later in the show, but it liberates us from always trying to be something that we're not. And I want to use an example of this. Have you ever been in a situation where you aren't really able to totally be yourself? I don't know what it could be. It could be like you're in a big party, or maybe you're in a group of people that don't necessarily feel the same way that you do. And so you kind of just act differently. And if this is something that you do, it's not really being authentic. So what happens is you have to be yourself, and you have to be able to say to someone, you know, I'm not really religious. I don't have an upset with anybody who is, but I don't choose to be religious because I don't, you know, get into the dogma now. And they'll say, oh, well, we're, you know, we're not, our church is non-judgmental and our church is this way. And I'm like, great. You know, that's great. You know, but for me personally, that's just the journey that I have chosen to take. And so being authentic is not always the easiest way to go about living your soul's journey. The Road Less Traveled, I guess, is a book that always comes to mind when I look at that type of thing. Now, if we learn to appreciate what we have, and if we learn to be who we are, we will always be comfortable in our own skin. So when we are in a situation where we're trying to be something other than who we are, it's very exhausting. You get very worn out, and you're very happy to be in your own space, because it's like, well, of course, you can be in your own space. It doesn't mean that you're not being authentic. But really what happens is that you're exhausted because you were putting so much energy into being someone else that you just exhaust yourself. So if you're just flat out yourself and know yourself, and you say, well, you know, Dr. Vicki, how do you learn to know yourself? Well, that's what my show is really all about. Every week I do something and have different people on, international folks, inspirational speakers, just to help you understand yourself and be more, you know, resilient, learning to know the good parts of you and maybe those destructive parts of you as well. Because self-awareness is one of the key elements of being authentic. And if you don't know yourself, self-awareness, it's how in the world can you be authentic? Now, I mean, you can be out there and just be who you are and act crazy or do crazy stuff or not do crazy or sit in your house all day long. And you know, maybe you feel like you're being authentic. At the same time, I will tell you my view on how you can truly be authentic. Now, when someone is authentic, that means that they really have a total awareness of who they are. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, okay, you have to be more real. There's no doubt about it. The first step is to be real. So, for instance, I will give you an external way of that I can show you of being real. For years and years and years, as an attorney, I've been an attorney for a long, long time, and when I went to law school, all the girls wore business suits. They were always black or dark brown some of them were brown, but dark blue and maybe dark gray. And they had the little pumps, and it was classic. And I was like, wow, I mean, that's just not me. I can't dress like that. So I would get, you know, we had to wear suits, you know, to a different arbitration groups that we were in. So I would always go out and I would buy this very silky, very, very elegant, and it would be dark blue, but it wasn't that rough, heavy material. It was that real silky kind of material. And I would always dress with cowboy boots on. So, you know, I dressed the way I wanted to dress that made me feel comfortable, but yet didn't offend the situation that I was in. it's the same thing when I came to Georgia and became an attorney. I could not dress like a typical attorney. It wasn't who I was then. It still isn't. And I continued through court. Every time I went to court, I wore a long skirt with cowboy boots, cowboy belts. I still have them. And I always, you know, always wore a jacket. And I looked very professional, but I just can't wear those high heels. I mean, I just don't. I commend women that can do it. I used to do it when I was in my 20s and 30s, maybe even in my 40s, I might have worn them, but not for very long and certainly not all day in court. And I have a very good friend of mine who is an attorney, and she used to come to court in very nice clothes, but she would come in tennis shoes because she worked from, say, 9 o'clock in the morning till sometimes even 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. She had long trials at night, and she could not bear to do that to herself, much less to her clients, to have her, you know, her feet hurt. Now, being real is not always about what you wear, but it does mean that you're letting people see everything about you, trusting that if they judge you, it doesn't matter. You will be loved by those or liked by those that will accept and appreciate your authenticity. And for those that don't, you know what? Aren't you glad that you don't have to have them by your side all the time? What if you had to have all these people by your side that you really don't like? I mean, that would not be very authentic, would it? So all I can say is just be real with people. I mean, and the few people that I have as what I call friends, I can totally be myself. They know I'm metaphysical. They know my you know, quirky sides. They just know me, and they love me. And I love them for whatever they consider their quirky sides. I don't see them that way. I see all their strengths that they see as weaknesses. But that's what's so unique about friendship, is that you can see things and share those beautiful, beautiful aspects of people that they sometimes don't even know about themselves or don't appreciate. Now, when we talk about knowing thyself, and that was a term that Christ even said, know thyself. We have to know that the dark side, the light side, all the metaphysical folks want to be on the light side. But y'all, to get to the light side, we sometimes have to go through the dark side. And if you have made mistakes, or if there are things in your past that you don't know about, or don't want to know about, I should say, you probably do know about them. But even in the past, even in past before you can remember or know about things, and I call that past lives, there is that dark part that people don't want to bring to the light, so it remains dark. Well, how do you get anything in life, a dark room, anything that's dark, to make it come to the light? You have to shine the light on it. And that's what I have learned to do in my counseling and in my own life. I have had to shine the light on the dark. Those are things that, oh my goodness, do I have to look at that? And sometimes you have to look at it and look at it year after year, different times, because it's like an onion. I know you've heard this before. When you're going through life, if you really do want to ascend, go through the ascension levels, and become, you know, masterful in your life and in future lives, you've got to look at the dark. And it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it, but you've got to bring the light to it. And if you don't ever look at it, it stays in the dark. And the dark haunts us. The dark still controls us if we don't get in there and find out what it is and bring light to it. Now, to bring light to it, we have to love it. Light brings love to anything. So if we're going to go in there and look at the darkness, the stuff that we messed up in, or we got hurt in, or things that we're ashamed of, that we don't like to talk about, we don't want to admit, if we can't look at that and own it and bring light to it, then it will forever, and I mean forever, control us. So being authentic requires that you look at the dark and see the value in it. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to suffer through it and, you know, go bang up the house. And, you know, oh my goodness, there's so many different ways people deal with anger and all that. You don't, you know, with the energy work that I do, you can deal with all of that without having to go through the suffering of it. But you still have to look at it. You still have to know that it's there and take full responsibility for it. Be accountable for it. Now, having these strengths and weaknesses, and some people choose to call it that way, the dark or the light side. If you, you know, that's part of being human. I mean, that's just, if you pretend that you don't have that, and, you know, the love and light will not always get rid of the dark. And that's why people that are living the light sometimes say, well, why did that happen to me? It's because you've had a long life, y'all, on this planet. Maybe this planet, who knows what other planets. And, you know, there's a lot that's happened. And so we, you know, somewhere along the way, it's time that we clear all of that up. Think about if you were on this planet right now and you were doing some of the things that are going on in the world right now that are not so pleasant. Do you might not remember that when you pass away, but you when you come back, holy Moses to Haiti land, you're going to have to take responsibility for some of those things that might have happened. So you might not remember them, and you may wonder why in the world this happens, but I don't want to get into that right now, other than knowing the dark side is extremely, extremely profitable to you. And I use that word profitable because it will bring you to the light in ways that you've never known before in your ascension. So just remember that when you realize that there are things in your life that you're not necessarily comfortable with, it's okay. Look at them, and then pretty soon they will become part of the light for you, and it will be a treasure that you will, every challenge now, as you know, is a gift. So just remember that you will find that gift and why you had to go through that. And personally, I've been through all of that. I went through so much when I went through Rohan. I had to go through some very intricate parts of my life that I really thought I had handled. And I had not even begun to scratch the surface of them when I started that process. And even when I was finished with Rohan and I had a doctorate in it, I still had not completed it. I still had to go on to a more advanced technology to even handle that aspect that got left kind of stirred up. And when that's when my true ascension started, because I had taken all those years to go through the dark. And then I was able to find newer technology that even allowed me to clear up even more, to give me the freedom and the ascension that I was looking for and continue and remain looking for. And so now the other step that I want to look at is kind of the third step, but it's real important in being authentic to know that what you have to say is important. You are important. You are enough. It's very, very important for you to know that whatever is going on in your life, you have a right to share it. You have a right to know that it's valuable. I mean, it's so many people when they start out in life are told to be quiet. You know, don't say anything, or you know, that's not very Christian, or that's not really nice to say that. Oh my goodness, if you say that, nobody will like you. Oh my goodness, you know, why would you say that? And I do it to my daughter a lot, and she looks at me and she says, wow, you're not allowing me to be authentic, Mom. You're not allowing me to be me. You're not allowing me to be real. And I'm like, whoa, do I have a lot to learn from her? Because basically that was what was told to me. Well, you're a Methodist. Methodists believe a certain way. We have to be this way. And then you become an Episcopalian, and they have to believe a certain way. Or you're from the South. Oh, my goodness, a Southern lady. Oh, she doesn't say anything. Oh, you keep your mouth shut. So you learn to not be authentic. You're like, you become this little robot. You become this little robot that's walking around having to be this way, having to be this way, and having to be this way. And pretty soon, by the time you're in your 20s or 30s, you're like, oh, well, this is just me. And it's like, no, it really isn't me. And, you know, as simple as this was a very profound part of my life that happened when I was in my early 30s. I was a singer and I was out west, and I sang with Vicki and the Ford Foundations, and we had a wonderful time. And I dressed up every night to work. So in the daytime, I like to put on my jeans. Oh my gosh, I was in a size 4, skinny little thing. And I had cowboy boots on at the same time, or tennis shoes, something like that. And I would wear, you know, pretty blouses, you know, just jean blouses, nothing nasty, nothing ugly, just, you know, or t-shirts. And my mother, bless her soul, she would always say, you know, Vicki, you would really be beautiful if you would just dress properly. And I'm like, oh, okay. So every time I got around her, I would dress a certain way. When I was by myself or with my friends, I would dress with my jeans on. I'd go to Colorado with my boyfriend. And, you know, I would dress the way that I felt comfortable. I looked nice. I'm not sitting here saying I looked horrible. I looked nice. And yet, from her viewpoint, I was not dressed properly. So that is an aspect of being non or unauthentic, because we are taught by our parents, by our friends, by society, you must look a certain way. And so what has become authentic is not really the way we really are. So, you know, a lot of people will feel uncomfortable around somebody who's not really authentic. They'll spot it. If you're real authentic, you'll know if somebody's being there. You'll know if they're faking it. You just know. And then if you're with a group of people that are all faking it, then they can spot that other people are faking it, but they don't care. You know, it's just like that's part of the game. And so, you know, I think that's why I loved juvenile law so much, and I did it for years, is because there were the lawyers in juvenile law were more authentic. They were who they were in court, and they were the same way out of court. And so many times as a lawyer, I notice that people are so one way in court, and then outside of court, there's something else. And to me, that's not being authentic. That's got to be exhausting. If you can't even be yourself when you're working, you have to be something else. That's because you won't be accepted. And what happens is we become so other than what we are that we almost are afraid to finally reveal our authentic self, because we don't know if we're going to be accepted for it or not, especially when you're older. Now, what I love about, well, there are many things I love about my daughter, but one of them is that she's so herself. And I don't know, she came into this world, you know, with a lot of struggles in her life. And, you know, there were a lot of things she had to overcome. I'm so proud of her now because she is so authentic. And she'll be with friends and she'll be with certain people. And I'm thinking, I wonder why she acts that way. I wonder why she does that. I mean, normally I would, in her shoes when I was her age, I would have not been as authentic. Because I was taught not to be that way. Oh my gosh, you can't say what you really feel. What if you said what you really feel and they walk out on you? Or what if you say what you really feel and nobody likes you? She doesn't care. You know, she is, and the few friends that she does have love her. And when I say few friends, I mean, you know, the ones that really, really are friends. I mean, we all have a lot of associates and you know, people that know us. But I'm talking about those people that really, really are her friends. They know how authentic she is. And as a camp counselor and different aspects of her life, as she grows into that, it's going to be beautiful to see how she brings that into her world of authenticity, because she will help so many kids, you know, to be authentic. And you know what I really love about it? When you have an authentic household, your dogs are even authentic. You'll notice that they even become more themselves. They're not these little robots that have to act a certain way. Oh, he's a dog. He has to eat this way. Oh, you know, he's a dog. He has to, you know, all these different rules we put on our dogs. Well, the dogs have, you know, astrological charts too, and they have numerology names, and they have their own kind of journeys that they're on. So, you know, we have to allow them to be authentic too. And it's like bringing in a new person in our lives when we bring a pet into the house. And we used to have too many pets. I used to rescue them. So it was having all these authenticity animals was quite interesting, but it's much happier now just having two. I like it so much better. Now, the other aspect that I want to know is, or share, I should say, is that, you know, you want to know all your feelings, and you want to know that when you have good feelings, good thoughts, there's more to the law of attraction than just the law of attraction. I may do my spiritual law lessons again that I started in May, because the law of attraction is just one simple, just one little simple law. And so many people just think it's the only one, but there's so much more hidden even behind the law of attraction that must be done for the law of attraction to even work. So, but just on a basic level, if you know to be positive, and if you use your why am I always healthy and happy and wealthy now? You know, why am I always doing well in my life? Why am I driving so safely? Why is this trip so easy for me to make? Why am I enjoying life so much? You know, ask these positive affirmations, and you will find that your life will grow instead of saying, why am I so sad? Or why, you know, just say, well, why are these sad feelings bringing so much joy to my life? Why am I being able to have so much insight in my world? So it's important to know that positive feelings can allow good progress on your journey. And really knowing yourself, authentic actions will follow. And that will mean that your life will become more real, more comfortable, and more enjoyable to live. Because we only have our own soul's journey to live. And for years and years, I had, prior to doing juvenile law, and actually sometimes during doing that field of law, I did divorces, and it is always so, so uniquely interesting to see how people want to act before the marriage begins. They're not authentic. They want that relationship so bad that they will do just about anything. They will say and be anything they need to be just to get married. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. And so what happens is, and I've done it too, let me just say that, I have done it too, that's why I can recognize it, is that we want something, we want love so desperately, and we think as women especially, and men too, that being married is going to solve everything. Oh my gosh, we'll just get married, everything will be fine, I'll never be alone again, I'll always have somebody with me, I'll always be supported, I'll always be protected, you know, blah, 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 and that's exactly what I mean by blah, 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 because when we are something different than who we really are, when we are with somebody for a long time, friendships usually fade if we're not authentic, but when you're in a relationship, or a marriage, let's just put it on a marriage, the legal part of it. You know, it's harder to get out of it. I mean, if you're in a relationship, you can walk away. In a marriage, my heavens, you know, you're under state law. You know, you're not just in a spiritual marriage, you're in a state law marriage. And the states and the courts control what you get, who, you know, how you handle your divorce and everything. So when you're not authentic at the beginning, and you're entering into a contract with someone to live with them, to love them, to live side by side with them for the rest of your life, and you enter into that relationship not being authentic, then you have really created a contract there that is almost probably, well, a high percentage of it not to make it. A contract is obviously, you know, voidable. It can be it can be stopped. It can be canceled. But going through that process, a contract is a legally binding piece of paper, an agreement. So that requires the courts, that requires the law to determine what is valid in that contract and who has to abide by it or not, or who has to pay the damages for breaking it. So being authentic does not just affect little aspects of our life. It affects our marriages, our relationships. It even affects our children. Because if you go into a relationship and you're not really authentic, you want a relationship so desperately that you'll just go into it and just be and say and do what you have to do to get that done, that marriage done, and then you go to have kids. Look who's suffering here. Oh my goodness. You've not only affected yourself, you've affected your spouse and children and their families and their grandparents. And you know, it's a big thing. It's so much easier, y'all, to be authentic. So what if you don't get married at 25 or 30? So what if you go through more than one divorce or two divorces or three divorces? But find that authenticity for yourself. Find that truth for yourself. That's what this life is about, living your soul's journey. You got to find it, y'all. And it doesn't just happen by reading a book. It doesn't just happen by listening to my show. It happens by going through and getting down to self-awareness. It requires getting to know thyself. And that means all aspects of ourselves. And I will tell you, I used to be that little airy-fairy thing where everything was just positive thinking and everything will be fine. Well, I'm sorry, y'all, but for me, that I don't want to burst your bubble, but for me, it didn't work. And for many of those that I have counseled and have as a lawyer and as a counselor, spiritual counselor, it hasn't worked for them either. So it's certainly important to be positive, and it is valuable to be positive. It's better to be positive than anything. At the same time that you're being positive, also be working on all aspects of self, so that pretty soon you wake up in the morning, which is pretty much where I am right now in my life. And I have to tell you, I've worked hard to get here, but I pretty much live an authentic life. I woke up this morning and I was in deep gratitude for living a single life, for having my dogs there, for having my daughter down the hallway, for having a home that I feel safe in when it's like the wind feels like it's going to blow every tree down and the world is going through all of its stuff. I mean, I feel so blessed and authentically blessed. And that means that I'm living the life that I am choosing to live out of choice, not because I have to, you know, not because it's forced upon me. And even though I'm selling my home and I want to sell my home and I will sell my home, and why is it selling so easily? It's because I'm even becoming more authentic by moving to the place that I'm moving to, because that particular place has even more availability for me to share my talents and for me to be authentically me, even more than in this town, because in this town, you know, it's not as accepting of me as this other town is. And when I say that, I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just that it's, you know, there's some towns that are you feel more comfortable with. When you're really authentic, you will feel comfortable in certain areas more than you will others, because there are more genuine people there. And this particular town that we're moving to is extremely genuine. There are three sets of kinds of people there, and they're all authentically being themselves. They're not trying to be anything else. And I love that. I mean, I just think that's just incredible. So now I want to just kind of go through how to help you create an authentic life. One of the ways is to really look at what you value. I mean, I'm going to go through this rather briefly, but you know, look and see what's important to you. Sometimes we hold on so tightly to values that we grew up with, which I talked about earlier, that we almost forget what we feel, the way we feel at this moment. As I started the show, I had to tell you what I felt about a situation that I got into with a child. And I had to be authentically myself, and I had to be true to my values. And by doing that, it caused a little upset for others. But yet at the same time, it brought some insight to a situation that really needed some insight to it, about full disclosure when you place a child in someone's home. And not just for the person that you're placing it in, but mainly for the child. It's very, very key. Now, Also, you, if you really are authentic, you want people to say, you know, if someone knows that I've been married a lot, will they still love me? Well, I have been married a lot. So if someone can't accept that about me, then wow, you know, that's okay. That's fine. It's just that I'm probably not going to be their best friend because they've got a lot of judgments on people that have been married a lot. And I love, and I'm not, I promise I won't get into politics, but I love in the political realm when they go after somebody that has been married three times, okay? And this person's been married three times, so they're like saying, well, whatever the word they may use, the opposing party, you know, how can this person say that they're, you know, committed or you can trust them or whatever? Yet at the same time, that other person may have committed adultery or may have had a secret affair or may have done something else that nobody knows about. Maybe that's more accepted in the world. Maybe that, like, maybe they did something that is different than having three marriages, as if somebody said three marriages is bad. I respect somebody who is honest with themselves. I mean, I would prefer to have a president that had been married three or four times than to have a president who had only been married once and wasn't true to that one wife or was running around on her, or even worse, even if he didn't run around on her, was lying behind the scenes saying he was happy. I mean, honestly, what's the difference, you know? I mean, at least the person that's been married three or four times is out there saying, oh, it didn't work, move on. You know, it's like we value marriage as a religious viewpoint. That's the people that are very religious say that it's wrong to do that. But I don't know that I ever had God come talk to me and say, oh, this is bad. I mean, he never said that to me. But, you know, maybe their God, maybe a different God, or maybe they spoke differently or whatever. So anyway. I will get off of that subject. But anyway, you want to be accepting. I mean, anybody that knows me knows all about my life. I have nothing to hide. That's actually on the website anyway. But, you know, it's like there's nothing that I'm upset about with my past. It happened. It's who I am now. So how could I be upset? It has made me, you know, authentically me. I'm able to do Living Your Soul's Journey with an authentic viewpoint, and someone may not agree with me, and that's fine too. You know, that all they have to do is just not agree. It doesn't affect me as long as they don't force it on me and I'm not forcing it on y'all. You know, I just share. I love to share. Now, when you're the other aspect about creating an authentic life is, you know, notice that if you're not really being yourself, and there was something that happened the other day where I was really not being myself, and I was like, whoa, you know, you just went back into that whatever you just had to say to make yourself acceptable in this situation, because if you really had been honest about it, you know, so finally, in this situation, I became very authentic and really shared my true feelings. Found out that this person that I really thought was going to kind of walk away, and after I had said what I said, I thought, well, that'll be the end of that friendship. Actually became a better friend because they had the same viewpoint. They were just afraid to say it. Because it's hard sometimes when you're in certain groups or you have a certain way of doing things, sometimes you get into a pattern, a rote pattern of handling situations a certain way because you're so used to doing it that way, that it becomes, you feel like you're being real, but you really aren't. So notice when you're not being real. Notice those fears and beliefs that create those barriers to you being authentic. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why when we move, my family and I moved to this little town we're moving to, the people there, there's a group there that all meet together on Sundays. I guess you could call it a church, but it's more like a group. But everybody's different. I mean, you got all kinds of people there. Nobody judges the other person. And I just think that's fabulous. Obviously, that's what the common core is. You want to get into a group that has similar viewpoints. Some of them are very different, but nobody's going to judge you for them. And it's kind of neat to be in an area that's just sort of like, oh, okay. You know, I'm sure everybody, and maybe inside may have some judgment. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I am excited about attending this group, so I will see. Now, the final one that I want to really look at is to trust your intuition. Because when you're trusting your gut feeling, a lot of people use those terms, you actually feel kind of out of it when you're not being authentic. It makes you feel sort of, I don't know how to explain it other than you just feel that it's not at ease. That situation was not at ease. I didn't feel comfortable in that place. Now, you know, a lot of that can be just a situation where you don't feel comfortable. But if you're really authentic and just let yourself share, you will trust to know that this is right or it isn't right. And if it isn't right, then leave. Get be in a position where you leave or you learn to quiet yourself. That doesn't mean that you're not authentic. But sometimes it's just easier to be a little quieter and learn than just to blurt it all out, just to prove yourself or to be self-righteous or to prove that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Sometimes it's more real to just sit back and say, let me learn from this. Let me see what's really going on here. And that can be some of the realest moments in your life. It's when you can sit back and just let the other person speak and you're like, wow. And it's a very authentic feeling to have those moments of openness and believability and those moments where you can just open up and do that. I just love it when those moments come for me and that I don't have to feel that self-importance, which is something that doesn't work in our lives. When we feel that we have the best, we feel that we know everything, and that because we're religious or whatever, that we're better than anybody else. And you know, always know, y'all, that we all are on our own soul's journey. And sometimes those soul's journeys take us in the strangest and craziest and wildest places. So we have to learn to quiet ourselves and just do what we need to do to make that happen. So to be authentic, that is. So sometimes being authentic can make us feel uncomfortable. And I will tell you flat out, sometimes I'll say things when I'm with friends or people that I don't know real well, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. It's honest, but it makes me feel uncomfortable. And I'll like think to myself, well, I wonder if I'll ever see them again, or I wonder if they judged me, or I wonder. And it never happens. You know, they only respect you. And again, if it doesn't work out, then that's okay too, y'all. It's okay because they don't need to be in your life if they're not authentic either for you. So, and if it's not on your soul's journey to have that, then that's okay. But I just want to tell you that we are all have a dark side. We all have a light side. So the more you shine your light on the dark side, the more authentic you will become and the more understanding you will have of your life. And being authentic requires self-awareness. How can you be authentic if you don't know yourself? It's really, really important. So just wanted to share that. Now, I want to remind you that next week, again, is William Stillman. He is a very fascinating person, it sounds like. I'm very excited to have him on the show. He's been on various radio shows on paranormal types of shows, coast to coast, but he's a psychic, And that means that you can call in and ask some questions. And if you have an autistic child, he has written a book about that. So be sure and listen in next week to William Stillman, the internationally known psychic. So excited about having him on. And I will also share with you that, again, as I mentioned at the early part of the show, now, Richard Andrew King is a very excellent numerologist. He cares about people. He's written numerous books. And one of the books he's written is called Parenting Wisdom, What to Teach the Children. And it has many chapters in it. And I had him on the show back in, I guess, probably December. I'm not sure when it was, sometime in December, I believe. And I said, you know, let's do a weekly, once, well, actually, it's really monthly. Monthly show once, one time a month on several of the chapters, because every time he opens his mouth, this incredible wisdom comes out, and I'm like, okay, let's just do the show on this. So we will be doing that once a month, and you know, anytime that I have a rerun on the show, I probably will air some of these parenting wisdom tidbits as the show rerun, because so many of us, in one way or another, parent. And it's just so wonderful to have wisdom on this. I mean, how many books did you read when you became a mom or a dad? Have mercy. I didn't read anything. I think there was some little book about, you know, how to do certain things. But, I mean, really, it wasn't anything about really, really parenting. So, now, what we've talked about tonight with being authentic, just remember that being authentic requires self-awareness. So, you know, own up, be accountable. You know, don't always say, I'm sorry for everything that you do. Acknowledge who you are and some of the beautiful aspects of your life, and see the beauty of who you are. And, you know, stop necessarily thinking of just your flaws. Think of, focus on your strengths as well. Because if you're going to look at your flaws, that's fine. Do it in a counseling session, though, so that you can start peeling off the onion and get rid of those aspects of self that you don't want to control you. But getting rid of them is a negative aspect of it, in the sense of you're saying, ooh, I'm going to stuff it in a drawer. I know when my daughter was little, she said, I'm going to take all the ugly things of my life and put them in a little box. I'll deal with them later. Well, of course, as a child, you know, I'm here to remind her, you remember that little box you put away? Well, someday we're going to have to look at that. We're going to have to look at that, undraw the tape from it and let it out. He let it see the light, let the light shine on it, and then release it. So really focus on the strengths that you have, so that you can use those strengths to handle issues that you don't necessarily want to deal with, but use those strengths to handle that. And always, this is pretty much my final statement for this evening, is fully accept that you can take care of yourself in a real, authentic manner without feeling guilty and without feeling like you're being selfish. So many times that we have been taught that if we take care of ourselves, if we think of ourselves, if we do for ourselves, we are selfish. And y'all, that's just, it's just not true. We have to be authentic. We have to know ourselves to be that way. And how can we know ourselves if every time we do something for ourselves, it's considered selfish? I mean, if you're doing everything for everybody else, then, wow, it's like then they're taking things from you that you really shouldn't be giving. So learn to have that balance of caring for self. Then you'll know what to give to others authentically, and you'll know to be true to who you are. And, you know, I guess I can use Doug as a good example. He owns BBS Radio. He's doing authentically what he loves to do. But I bet if you put him into some world of law, or put him in being a lawyer or something like that, I think he would be an authentic lawyer, that's for sure, because he would do it very differently. But you don't just put people into roles that they're not authentically for. And I see parents doing it to their kids. Oh, she has to be a lawyer. He has to be a doctor. He has to be this. He has to be that. And they take the authenticity of that person's journey away from them. And then by doing so, they're taking that soul and put them on a detour. Sometimes when they're 50, 60, 70 years old, that's when they have these breaks, if you may, these emotional breaks, and something weird will happen in their life. Not always so good either. And that's when they'll like, oh, wow, I just had a realization. I got to be me. And then everybody says, well, what happened to him? What happened to her? Nothing happened. They just became themselves. They're not you anymore. They're not that other person anymore that you created. So now they're becoming themselves, and everybody around them is like, holy Moses, what happened? Where did that happen? What happened to them? And all I can say is they're becoming authentic. Now, sure, maybe they, you know, aren't quite authentic at the very beginning of this major shift, but eventually they will become themselves. And I think I read that about Dr. Phil. He was becoming authentic himself, and he was doing a lot of work that he really didn't love. I'm paraphrasing it, but then he became himself in ways in his career that affected his whole, probably his whole family. And look at him now. He's authentically, you know, doing what he loves. So that's just a really good example. I'm doing what I love. I love doing the lawyering work that I do. And at the same time, I love doing my radio show and working with people in the way that I work with them. So I just have to be who I am. And you have to be who you are. And then we meet on our soul's journey as we're supposed to. And if we're authentic, we get the most out of that meeting and that experience that we possibly can. So I want to thank you so much for being here on Living Your Soul's Journey this evening. Again, we will have a very exciting show next week with William Stillman. And until we meet again, be blessed and find something to be grateful for this week. Good night.